All right, let's move on. We've talked about the NBA. I'm sure when we come back next show, we'll talk where we're at in the NBA. I mean, assuming we'll probably still be towards the end of this, probably be towards the end of the semifinals on our next show. Alex and I spent time last week talking about college football, and a lot has changed, Noah and Micaiah, since you guys were on our show last, which has been several weeks. Since our last show, the Big Ten came out with a revised 10-game schedule featuring an addition of Maryland to the schedule and a mix-up of the order. What, 5 days after that schedule release? Like, literally 5 days, the Big Ten cancels its season. Pac-12 cancels its season. The SEC and the Big 12, along with the ACC, say, hey, we're playing. We don't know what the Big Ten knows that we don't know, but we're playing. Noah, Micaiah, did either of you listen to last week's show?
I did not.
No, not before recording this anyway.
So I talked a little bit about where I stand on this, and I think we all agreed several weeks back that, you know, we thought college football was going to happen, right? With no fans, I think we all thought it was going to happen. What the Big Ten has done, in my opinion, and I'll tell you why in a moment, what the Big Ten has done to me is a travesty, and not because I just want to see Iowa play. I do want to see Iowa play, but they're going to play. I mean, I think at this point there's so much pressure on the Big Ten. They're going to play no matter what. They're going to play either, whether it's in, not going to play in September, but if they play in October, if they play in November, or if they play in, say, January, or even February, they're going to play. I think there's a lot of pressure on the Big Ten to play. So that's not even my concern. My issue with this all is I believe that Kevin Warren, former Viking, right? Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten, was in the Vikings front office at one time. I believe that he went on the Big Ten Network the day of the cancellation and lied through his teeth to the camera. And I have a problem with that, because he went on there and said that this conference was making what they believed to be the best decision for the student athletes. And I don't believe that's what motivated their decision to not play. Alex, you've had some more time to reflect on this. We will talk about the latest news as far as rumblings that we're hearing about the Big Ten and its outlook. But, Alex, have you given this any more time to reflect on this decision?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I've changed my opinion of it. I think I kind of agreed with you about their motivation for canceling it, the stated motivation not being true, but I think I disagreed with you about, I don't think by December we'll look back, and I don't think these other conferences are still going to be playing, so I think I will be, or the Big Ten will be redeemed probably with that.
Here's the issue. Let me, before you go on here, let me explain my point of view, Noah, because I understand, we haven't talked to you guys about this, but it's very easy for the average fan, and I'm not kind of calling you guys the average fans, but for any fan, really, to look at football and say it's a contact sport. Whether or not we all agree that young people, for in large part, aren't at risk for serious issues, in large part, right? We all agree on that. I mean, there are always a chance of something happening. But for the most part, young people are not getting deathly ill from this virus unless they have a severe issue, which if they have a real severe issue, they're probably not playing football. But my issue with this is not that, because we can talk to death about, well, you know, that doesn't mean anything, because we've talked about how, you know, there are some chances of long-term effects. There's, the Big Ten pulled out this information about myocarditis, right, which is a condition of the heart, which can sometimes develop as a result of the of your system fighting off a virus, you know, a flu-like virus or a coronavirus. And they've seen that with some people. My issue is not that, Noah. So I want everybody to know here, this is not me coming on here and saying it's worth the risk. That's not what I'm saying. My argument against this is actually exactly the opposite of that. The more I've thought about this, regardless of the long-term effects, this is why I think the Big Ten made a stupid decision. The more I've thought about this, I've come to the conclusion that I believe players are safer within the confines of the university, within the confines of the university hospitals, the team medical personnel, and the organization, the structure of a football team, practice, games, you know, run-throughs, everything, walk-throughs, whatever you call them, than they are away from the team. A lot of campuses are open right now. We're seeing outbreaks everywhere, right, on these campuses. So if you're going to be open, if you're going to be open and not playing football, what sense does that make? You're putting 18 to 24-year-olds who, Noah, can we agree, for the most part, these kids are not going to quarantine. As much as we think there's going to be a perfect scenario where we say, hey guys, we're canceling the season, go quarantine. The reality of it is we know 18 to 24-year-olds are not going to go quarantine. So again, are they safer away from the team and away from the testing that they're going to get probably two tests a week, and the medicine and the trainers and just the structure and knowing that, hey, if I screw up and I contract this virus, I actually have something to lose. Would you rather that, or would you rather these kids running loose on campus, in parties, in bars, and of course in Iowa, bars have been shut down in select areas, which is, you know, will help the numbers, I would think. But would you rather them running around on campus, in dorms, at parties, being college kids, or would you rather them with the structure of the football team, with shields on, and again, something to actually lose if they screw up?
Well, when you put it that way, of course, having them all work behind the team, the concept of being part of a football team, it would actually give them something to think about and something to work towards.
Yes.
It's staying healthy so that they can stay a part of that team.
And
because there is no middle ground. You can't have it but still be part of the team. If you get COVID, you are not going to be playing football.
And here's the deal, Noah. If we want to talk about long-term effect, this is where I went back and I explained this to Alex in the last show. This is why I'm so in favor of them playing this fall, and they're not going to. But this is why I'm in favor, and I wasn't. Remember, we hadn't really talked this in depth about it, and I've really given this more thought. For Kevin Warren to go on camera and say, "Well, we care about the student athlete safety," how is this decision about student athlete safety? Do you see what I'm saying, Noah? Like, yeah. How is it about student athlete safety? Like, if you want to say, again, we're afraid of the long-term risks, canceling football does not get rid of the long-term risks. These kids are going to contract this virus whether they're playing football or not, right? And
well,
I think that there might be a better chance of them contracting if they're not playing football, because, again, if they're on campus, they are associating with fellow students, they have nothing to lose. Or if the universities or the states say we're not going to have kids on campus, we're going to go to online classes only, you're sending a lot, let's be honest, you're sending a lot of black kids who maybe grew up in the inner city, or even local kids who grew up in Cedar Rapids, you're sending them back to areas where they're going to transfer it to they're not going to quarantine if they're in their hometown, because again, they're college kids, they're going to transfer it to their parents, they're going to transfer it to their grandparents. And again, for a lot of these kids that grew up in the inner cities, in these big cities, St. Louis, Chicago, New York, wherever these kids are from, they're going back to the inner cities where the breakouts are worse, where there's, you know, all kinds of violence. And, you know, I can go all on and on and on about this, but Do you see my point in this? No, I actually believe that the kids are actually safer health-wise within the confines of the football team, because the reality is 18, 24-year-olds are not going to quarantine on their own initiative.
All right. From a certain perspective, I can see why you say that about how it's safer for it all to be a part of the football team. But at the same time, you have to realize, number one, not everybody is going to be carefree and just go and do everything like they normally would. Number two, not having them as part of a football team, especially a football team that's traveling to other schools and playing football in other locations and other cities and other states, this is going to help limit the spread of the virus. If not within the college, at least to other colleges. And, you know, we
expect... I don't know about that, though, because, like, how... I know that's the theory. Like, you're it's going to... it's it, like, where is it... like, where is it... how is it spreading because they travel?
Okay.
Like, where's the extra spread? Because if these kids are on a charter bus or a charter flight, it's a controlled environment. They're going to be in a controlled location, whether it be a hotel or wherever they're at. They're going to be in a controlled location. The only spread, and there may be some spread, we don't know. The only spread that you're going to get is between football players. And I guess I understand what you're saying, Noah. What I'm saying is, so again, weigh these two things before you. Do you think, and again, we're speculating on this, but do you think there would be more spread in that scenario between football teams playing football, traveling to play each other, playing football, or more spread with 100 kids not playing football and a percentage, whatever that percentage may be, carefree, partying, they're on campus, even if they're not partying, they're in campus, they're in classes, they're still around other kids, or back in the inner cities, wherever they're at, which one is going to cause more spread? It's tough call, isn't it? It's a tough call. That's what I'm saying. That's why what I don't appreciate about Kevin Warren is it was almost like this idea, and Alex, you watched the interview, he didn't answer a single question. They asked him a question, and he just kept going, well, this is the student-athlete safety we're talking about. It's not that simple, Commissioner. It's not that simple. Well, this is a complex issue, and it's not. There's not a simple answer. Like people, again, and that's why we're having this dialogue, Noah, because there are some people, and it's easy to see, Noah, you can probably relate to this. It's easy to look at a situation like this without really thinking it through and saying, well, it's clear they shouldn't play football. Like, we can't. We're in the middle of a pandemic. But in reality, when you really talk about it and you really dissect it, it's not as easy as black and white. I guess that's what I'm getting to. I'm not saying there's a right. There is no perfect scenario with this because this is unprecedented. I just, like I said, I've weighed this more and more, and I've become less and less concerned about player safety from a football standpoint than I was before.
I'll let Alex go first.
Well, I think you mentioned it last time we had a podcast, but the thing you're not really mentioning is, you know, if these kids get COVID back home, that it has no, there's no possible way that can come back on the school, on the,
yes,
on the conference or any of that. But if they get it while they're playing football, you could definitely have parents, I don't know what kind of waivers they sign and whatnot,
okay,
but you're definitely gonna have parents
point.
Trying to sue.
That's my point. Kevin Warren did not make this decision was not made because of health and safety. It was made because of liability. It was made because of the chance of litigation. And I do believe that I've heard lawyers say, well, they really wouldn't have been held responsible because there would have been no way to prove that they got it during football. Listen, the Big Ten commissioner, the Big Ten conference, and the presidents, I think, ran scared because they feared not, again, see, this is my thing, Noah, not because they thought, well, there's a greater chance of the kids getting sick if we're playing football. What they're afraid of is, even if the kids, and this is what's going on in the back of this, what I'm perceiving here, even if the kids are getting sick at a lesser rate playing football, which, again, that would actually be the health and safety, right? You're making a decision that's actually going to be safer for the kids. Even if that ends up being safer, say we only have two kids that get it all year and one happens to develop some issue, could come back and litigate the conference or the schools within the conference years later. Whereas, like Alex said, if they're off campus and they're home, have a nice day. We ain't responsible for what you do. That's my issue. I think it was all about litigation. I don't think it was about really caring about what the players and their safety.
I don't think, well, at this point, whether it was about player safety or whether it was about, you know, lack of liability, you know, they don't want to be held responsible if things happen. Either way you look at it, at this point, it doesn't really matter, because with all of the crazy things that have been going on with the Big Ten, they've been losing face over it.
Yeah.
It's been one giant mess.
It's been a PR nightmare for them.
There's a headline from CBS Sports. It's from 13 hours ago as of right now. The Big Ten's credibility is being torn apart from the inside out, and it only has itself to blame.
Yeah.
That sums it up perfectly.
And so I think we all agree on this, Noah, and we may disagree. I mean, I think you understand where I'm coming from. I see your point of view on it. I think it's clear there's not an easy answer. I don't think it's definitely not as easy as people want to make it out to be. Like, well, obviously we shouldn't play football because we're in the middle of a pandemic. No, it's a much more complex issue than that when you look at it from all the different factors. But I think the big thing here is, like you said, the Big Ten, the way they've handled this has been terrible. I think Kevin Warren, I don't know how he survives this. I don't, I mean, first of all, how do you, and again, I know Kevin Warren's not to blame because the president's voted on this. We've had conflicting reports on this. There have been reports from ADs that have said, we don't think there ever was a vote. There was never a formal vote, according to these ADs. These ADs say there was a vote. Kevin Warren waits a week after players are, you know, Justin Fields of Ohio State has a petition with like 300,000 people signing to play in the fall. You've got players or parents who are gathering in a crowd outside of the Big Ten offices, and you've, you know, it's been a PR nightmare, and they've not handled any of it correctly. They canceled the season less than a week after coming out with a schedule. I mean, whether the decision ends up being a good one or not, we won't know necessarily. Although if the SEC and the Big 12 and the ACC end up making it to a championship game, or at least getting 6-7 games, it ain't going to look good for the Big Ten. Can we all agree on that? And it's going to hurt the Big Ten competitively. It's going to hurt them with recruiting. It's going to hurt them, obviously, with money. It's going to be a very, very slippery slope.
It already has hurt them in those ways that you just mentioned with the money and the recruiting. Like I said, they've lost a lot of face. They're already hurting from it.
So since that decision was made and all these protests and these letters written to the Big Ten by parents and the silence from the Big Ten, which has been incredulous and it's looked terrible for Kevin Warren and company. I heard a report last week that if there was a vote now, the vote would be overwhelmingly yes, play, which I don't get. If that's Alex, if Kevin Warren's not in charge, and the presidents all are in favor of it now, why can't the presidents come back and say, hey, we want to revote? Kevin Warren's not a dictator. Why can't they do that? That's what I don't understand.
Well, I
Kevin
mentioned
Warren said, well, the decision's not going to change. Well, is that really his decision to not change it? To me, that's not his call. If it wasn't his call to cancel, it can't be his call to uncancel.
Yeah, I think I said last time on the podcast, I get the feeling that they were expecting the other conferences to all follow suit, not just one. And the fact that I don't know how much communication they have with a conference like the SEC, but or if any, but you know, I get the feeling they were expecting the other conferences to do the same. So that definitely, I think, was probably a factor. And like you were talking about, I think there's other motivations even beyond litigation for them to cancel the season preemptively. So, I don't, as far as going back and changing it now, isn't it September? Like today's September 1st, I think. No, 31st of August. I mean, you're getting down to it now. I don't think you probably can go back and change it now, but.
Well, the thing about it is we had a football game, and you guys see this, it was a college football game last night. Central Arkansas and Austin Peay. And you may laugh at that and say, well, hey, it was college football. And people are playing this year. Now, there will probably be interruptions, just like there have been interruptions in baseball, professional baseball. The baseball season's still going. The NBA is in a bubble, and they've avoided interruptions, but you're not going to be able to bubble athletes in college. We've talked about that. So, again, I go back to what the Big Ten, what do they do from here? I mean, the college football playoff, the AP, the preseason AP poll and coaches poll came out. Iowa was ranked in both, by the way. You've got Ohio State like ranked in the top three, and even though they're not playing this fall, the original reports were they would try to play a spring season, although some people were saying, oh, they don't intend to play. They're just saying they want to play a spring season, and they don't really intend to fulfill that. With all this pressure, now I'm hearing that the Big Ten has become very serious about playing. Originally, we thought that was in February or March, but of course the draft was an issue, and you know, trying to get these players to actually play, the best players to play, you're not going to be able to get them to play if it's that close to the combine and the draft. We don't know if the draft would move back for college players and college football. And then we start hearing these proposals from Jeff Brohm, from Jason Day of Ohio State, of playing in January, starting the season January 1st, playing 7 or 8 games, and then playing a championship game, and then a game between the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Okay, we heard that, and now we got a report just a couple days ago of the Big Ten looking to play on Thanksgiving, starting Thanksgiving weekend. I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. So they cancel the season. Let's recap this again. They cancel the season in the fall, Noah, and originally the idea is they're probably not going to play at all. Then the idea is, well, we're probably going to play, but it's probably going to be February or March. Then a couple more days, weeks go by, and now it's January 1st. And then a couple more weeks go by, and all of a sudden, now we're playing, we're thinking about playing Thanksgiving, end of November. Alex, could we see a scenario where they move this up again and say we're going to play in October, and we're right on track with everybody else?
I don't see that.
I mean, the Thanksgiving thing makes sense because they're talking about playing in domes. So it doesn't really matter if you start in December or February. It's going to be cold. It doesn't matter. You're going to be playing in domes. They talked about playing in St. Louis, Minneapolis, Chicago, Gordon reports. I think the Unidome would be a great place to play. I don't know why you couldn't. It's right in the Big Ten footprint. I don't know if they've talked about that. They've talked more bigger stadiums. How real will this season feel, Alex, if the Big Ten is playing, the Pac-12 is playing, but there's no college football playoff? And I know that Iowa isn't regularly in the conversation for a playoff, but won't that take a bit of the mystique away from the season, or will it still be easy to get hype for Iowa football?
Well, you know, that's the thing about splitting up these conferences where you have some that are playing now. It's hard to know. It's hard for me to try and see the future as to what's going to go down. I think I've already said that I think that they'll get their season cut short, but I'm not sure if that will mean that they'll resume in the spring. Let's say the Big Ten does plan to play in February. Let's say we get a vaccine around the start of the year. They probably would require all the players to take it, so they wouldn't be as, and the coaches, and they wouldn't be as worried about.
If they get all the players to take it, well, first of all, I don't know where you're getting this February thing. I've ever since the initial announcement, everything I'm hearing is at least January, if not before. I haven't heard a single projection for February because it's just not logistically possible to keep the best players playing if you're starting in February, because then you're talking about going February, March, and into April.
Yeah, I mean, I think the draft would have to be moved back. I mean, I don't see that holding up college seasons. I mean, something's, they'd have to communicate with the NFL, because I just don't see that being the thing that, you know, keeps them from starting later.
Noah, your thoughts?
To me, especially given how late in the year it's getting and all of the things that they would have to sort out with TV contracts and organizing schedules and getting everything lined up as far as the teams and where they're going to stay when they're on the road and all of their travel arrangements and all that. It's a lot to get done before Thanksgiving. And I really
don't... You think it is?
I do think it is. It's a lot to get underway, especially since I haven't made an official decision that they are going to start at Thanksgiving.
But here's the deal, Noah, and this is something that was brought up after this initial report came up. If the other... This is one of the reasonings that I heard that Thanksgiving was now on the Big Ten's radar, because if the other conferences play... Okay, they play September, October, November. Usually the last regular season game of the year is that weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, right? Because we usually have a Black Friday game with Iowa and Nebraska. You've got NFL football on Thanksgiving weekend, right? But this year we don't anticipate NBA basketball at that point. Maybe in December. Micaiah talked about that earlier, but I'm thinking probably January from what Adam Silver said during the NBA draft lottery last week. So the Big Ten could have a window for, and perhaps no college basketball until January 1st as well. The Big Ten may have a window between Thanksgiving and the end of the year where they could really, really take advantage of some lucrative TV deals, because they may not have as much competition as you would normally have with the NBA and college basketball to battle. That's the other line of reasoning that I've heard.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from with that. And especially, you know, if imagine they start the season on Thanksgiving, they get it all sorted out and they have a big game between two powerhouse teams, or a couple of games like a doubleheader between four powerhouse teams on Thanksgiving night. Can you imagine how big of an event that would be?
Well, what I think what needs to happen, first of all, by the way, this idea of what I'm gathering from these reports of the dome ideas of playing in domes is almost like a bubble in a way, but more like a just doubleheader. Like you've got you've got like six teams in St. Louis, or actually probably more feasible. You'd have like four teams in, let's see, how would that work? 14 teams in the Big Ten. So you probably have one place that has four teams, another place that has four teams, and then another place that has six teams. Right, so say Minneapolis, you know, you've got six teams up there. You've got, you know, four teams in St. Louis, and you've got four teams in Chicago, and you're just taking advantage of an entire day and back to backs. There's no real long distance travel, Noah. I know Iowa can travel from St. Louis, Chicago to Minneapolis pretty soon. I mean, from Iowa City, that's a pretty And it's going to be regionalized. So in other words, you're going to play like the closest place for Iowa would be Chicago. So they're probably going to play more there than they would the other places. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah, I think I see.
I just want to know where Micaiah went.
He's in his own world on the couch over here.
The honest thing ended him.
It did. He stormed off. He was like Stephen A. Smith, just stormed off and just gone.
Go to commercial.
Do you remember when Stephen A. Smith did that with Skip Bayless, even though I don't like either of those guys? Yep. Remember when he just left? He just got up and left.
I don't know if he got in trouble for that or what, but now he brings a paper with him just in case. His co-host starts spouting nonsense. He just pulls out the paper and starts reading the paper while they're in the middle of their argument.
Okay, so let's just look at a couple things as we wrap this thing up. As I'm looking this up, Alex, do you have anything to add on the college football scene? Noah, I mean, what are your guys' thoughts right now? Where are we compared to? Because it's been almost a month, Noah, since you guys have been on the show. Alex and I did a show last week, but it's probably almost been a month, hasn't it? Maybe we did one in early August, but
yeah, it's been a few weeks, anyways.
So what are your thoughts on things right now? Obviously, there are spikes in certain areas. We are going to look at the coronavirus numbers. We don't know how close we're getting to a vaccine either. That's another question in the air.
The way I see it, I think most likely what's going to happen is they're going to aim for a winter season. And by that, I mean the start of the year.
January. Yeah, that's probably
right. And they're going to play in indoor venues in a couple of different locations. And I think what you mentioned about having these domes is kind of like a mini bubble. If you plan it all out and test thoroughly before letting people in.
Which they will.
Which they will have to, really. That's probably one of the best ways to go about doing this. So I think it could work. It's not going to be ideal, and there are probably going to be some hiccups. But I think they're probably aimed for a winter season starting in January. And the indoor venues, like I'm looking at an article on ESPN, Barry Alvarez, Wisconsin athletic director, mentioned indoor venues such as Lucas Oil Stadium and Ford Field in Detroit and U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. These are all really big venues, but they're all regionalized, like you mentioned before.
Why not the Unidome? I mean, seriously, like, why does it need to be an NFL? Because St. Louis one? I'm assuming when they say St. Louis, I didn't hear what you said. I'm assuming that's the old Rams Stadium that's still up.
I don't know. They didn't mention St. Louis here.
Which ones did they mention there?
Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy.
Oh, Indy.
In Detroit and U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis.
Ford Field. Okay, I thought it was Chicago. I've heard St. Louis on a lot of different sources. So now Minneapolis, the one up there would be the old Viking Stadium, correct?
No, the new one, U.S. Bank Stadium. Which would be interesting if the NFL is trying to play games around the same time as well.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Is the old... I was just up at Minneapolis. I went to the Minnesota-Iowa basketball game, and I remember seeing TCF Bank Stadium, the Minnesota Golden Gopher Stadium. I'm assuming the old stadium that Minnesota played in. What was their... Is that where the Gophers played previously?
I have no idea.
You want to look that up?
The roof collapsed.
I forgot that the roof collapsed.
Alex, your thoughts on that?
Hope nobody's in there.
Oh, that was 10 years ago. The roof collapsed 10 years ago, and there's a... let's see. It looks like it was taken down, destroyed a few years ago. So the Metrodome is no more.
Okay. So we're talking about U.S. Bank Stadium. Look up football dome in St. Louis. I'm guessing it's the old, because I was in that arena too. I went into that stadium. I watched a Rams scrimmage in that stadium one time. Just down the road from Busch Stadium, actually.
The Dome at America Center. Let's see. Edward Jones Dome?
Yeah, there it is.
The old St. Louis Rams football stadium.
Is it still up?
I bet it is. I bet it is because I think it's really young.
That stadium.
As far as I can tell, it is still standing.
If I'm not mistaken, I think the taxpayers are still paying that off.
So I think you're right. So we're playing football in that stadium. Wouldn't that be cool for Iowa to be down in a stadium like that? I just think that'd be cool. I think the Iowa players, I think Big Ten players would love that.
Yeah.
Nice, concise, and to the point, Alex. I love it.
So the CDC changed their website. It's totally laid out differently. I used to be able to get daily cases graph. Can't see new daily cases graph.
It's down in the 35,000 range.
Yeah, but how do I access that?
I don't know. I don't look at it.
Daily.
Iowa's the fastest growing state right now.
But that's a good thing. I mean, that's a good thing from a standpoint of cumulatively, they're not going to stay that.
Well, it's not that the other states have, I mean, the other states have gone down, but Iowa has definitely, you know, I don't know if you looked at it, but the counties that shut down, three of them, the obvious ones were Story, Blackhawk, and Johnson, which are the three universities. So
are we supposed to be surprised by that?
Well, you know, I think that's what you're going to see across the country, though, with all the university towns.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, let's see here.
Not to mention regular public school.
Okay. And then is there a dome in Chicago, Noah? Can you look that up? NFL or a football arena dome in Chicago? Because I thought
there's a bean.
A what?
A bean, that big chrome bean. You ever seen that? It's a big old bean.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Big shiny bean. People take pictures next to it.
Soldier Field is in Chicago. That's an open air stadium.
Yeah, I don't know Soldier Field, there. But that's open air.
Blackhawks play. Is that big enough for...
Blackhawks.
I don't know how big a hockey rink is, but is that big enough for a football?
Oh, that thing. We need to get, you know what we need to get?
Can they could play in that. That's a bubble.
What if we put Micaiah on the board of presidents that make the decision for what happens with the Big Ten this year? And he's sitting there.
This is what you get.
He's on Zoom on his couch. And he said, oh, let's see. What do they have in, what do they have in Chicago? Let's see. What'd you ask, Micaiah?
Where do the Blackhawks play?
Where do the Blackhawks play? They got something we can use.
The Blackhawks.
So you're hearing Indianapolis and then Ford Field. That Ford Field's a dome?
Yep.
That makes sense, right? I mean, you got two Michigan teams up there. So, I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think this is a workable scenario?
It could work. I'm seeing a lot of potential for hiccups along the way, but it could work.
Alex?
I mean, I don't understand the Thanksgiving thing. What do they think is going to have changed by then?
Well, what do they think is going to have changed in January?
They want football sooner.
It's not a matter. Well, here's the deal. Here's the thing about Thanksgiving, though, Noah. If you're going to look for hiccups in the schedule and you want to be done by a certain date, if you start in Thanksgiving, it allows you a lot more time. So if you say we're going to start on Thanksgiving, if we're not ready by Thanksgiving, they could say, okay, we're just going to push it back to January. But if you start, if you say we're going to start in January, it gives you no room for error. That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. You're giving yourself some leeway, some work room.
Right. I think that's the key on this. So, it appears as I'm looking at the new graph. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's where we're at. The numbers have gone down. I mean, we were over 70,000 a day at one point, and now we're under 40,000. So, if you look at it from that standpoint, we're under 40,000 despite students across the country coming back to school.
Yeah, well, you know, it takes a few weeks to build up. We've seen that.
A lot of students, some of these students have been on school since June. I mean, I'm not saying that. I mean, students here at Iowa State came back, I think, 2 weeks ago. So these results should be accurate by now. And they got tested when they came back, too.
I think you'll see mid-September type spike.
Spike? What do you mean by spike?
Well, I don't want to say spike, but more like a hill if you're looking at the graph. We're probably, you know, I hope it keeps going down, but I think we're probably in a bit of a valley right now, and it'll probably peak between, you know, public schools going back I don't know if they're back right now or not, but around now and colleges, you know, a couple weeks for that to build up. I just don't know how that's going to affect the football scenario. It'll be interesting to see because, you know, the SEC and these other conferences are going to be like guinea pigs. So I think, personally, I think the Big Ten will probably look okay coming out of all this because I think they'll probably have to cancel everything. But who knows?
What are they canceling? What are you canceling? What are you canceling? Why are they going to have to cancel everything?
Because
what's going to happen that's going to cause them to just have to shut everything down?
Well, let's say you have, let's say you're three games into the conference schedule, which I guess is their only schedule, and you have five players on one team that are out, 10 players on another team. Uh-huh. One's a quarterback, one's a, you know, wide receivers.
That's quarterback. That's why you start November, and games can be postponed.
Well, I'm talking about these other conferences.
Well,
I'm talking about like the SEC.
Well, I think if you're a Big Ten fan, you don't want kids to get sick, and that's not what we're asking for. But from a Big Ten competitive standpoint, you don't want to see these conferences succeed at this. Because if they succeed in September, October, or November, it's going to look really bad for the Big Ten, whether the Big Ten plays in Thanksgiving or not. Would you agree with that, Noah? It's going to look really bad for the Big Ten if the other conferences pull
this
off.
Even worse than it already has been.
No. I'm just saying, yeah, I can see it getting shut down, but that's why the Big Ten's trying to find a way here by I don't know when we're going to get a vaccine either. I mean, I keep hearing this speculation. I mean, is there a chance we have a vaccine in November? Widespread? I don't think
widespread? I'd say no.
January is like, I think, the earliest possible point from what I've heard.
Widespread.
Well, no, to have it, as far as for it to take effect. But, you know, I think once you have it, as far as sports, if you require all the players to take it and, you know, it's shown through clinical trials to show it giving people, you know, durable immunity, I don't see why they couldn't go ahead and start playing. Because even if you still had, you know, community transmission.
You can't shoot up the students before you shoot up the general population.
What I'm saying, though, is that
it's got to be widely available.
There's a lot of people that won't take it in the general population, so you can't. I don't think they have to wait for the cases to come down. That's what I'm saying. I don't think you have to wait for the cases to be gone for stuff like football to start resuming, because I think that'll take a few months. But if they have the vaccine and it's shown to be effective, I think they can probably go ahead and start playing without worrying. You know, if you maybe they do that and they have some outbreaks, it'll depend on how effective the vaccine is, but I think you probably could tentatively start the season if that happens, when that happens.
Noah?
If a vaccine is available, there is no reason that they couldn't play. But from what I've heard, the vaccine is still quite a long ways off. And then once they actually do make a vaccine, then they have to produce it. And especially to get the kind of numbers for it to be generally available, it's going to take quite a while to get to that point. So I don't think it's probably not going to have a bearing on this college football season in the next, you know, 4 months.
Well, we're August 31st.
We can hope.
Yes. And I think we all agree we could use some football. Right?
We'll have NFL.
Say that again?
I think we'll have NFL.
Well, what's that got to do with anything?
It's something.
The NFL is football, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not Iowa football. All right, Alex?
That's true. I haven't watched NFL in about 4 years, so it'll be a change for me.
Well, it would be, when's the last time you watched Iowa football?
It feels like 4 years ago, doesn't it?
Yeah.
By the way, one other question. You guys at all concerned if they do end up playing, if they're not able to start Thanksgiving, or even opting out because they want to focus on the draft? I mean, I think, you know, it's that balance between, for some of these guys, am I good enough to sit out and not improve my draft stock, or do I need to play to improve my draft stock? And I think that balance is going to be a few guys. Some of these seniors, I think, need to play. Some of the seniors, I don't think there's any seniors that you can look at on this team besides the Lark Jackson. I'm a little bit surprised when he would be one guy that I'd be a little bit concerned with opting out. Can you see that, the reasoning on that one? No, I mean, we thought it was going to go last year. I'm not saying he's going to opt out, but I would not be sure.
Well, I'll see if I can piece together what you said. Your internet's kind of cutting in right now.
Oh, it is. Can you hear me now?
Right now, yes. It's okay, like you'll hang for a little bit and kind of stutter, and then you'll talk really fast and catch up.
Alaric Jackson would be the one guy.
Yes, that would be my thoughts on it, too. If you're worried about anybody opting out because he thinks he's in a pretty good spot.
The one guy that I'd be concerned about.
Right.
Okay.
Potential.
Okay. So, Alaric Jackson and maybe potentially Smith Marset, right, would be a guy that maybe played his way into draft boards without doing anything more this year. I think Brandon Smith would probably need to play, but Amir Smith-Marset and maybe Quay Cronk, although he was 4 years at Indiana, so we don't know a whole lot about him. But those three guys would be the three guys I'd be looking for. Chauncey Golston, to me, he needs to play his senior year. Brandon Smith needs to play. Who else are we looking at as far as draft prospects who are seniors? I mean, Quay Cronk, Alaric Jackson, Smith-Marset. Am I missing somebody here? I mean, Mekhi Sargent, he's not going to get drafted if you don't play. He may not get drafted anyway. He probably won't get drafted anyways. So he needs to play. Am I missing somebody here, Alex? Davion Nixon isn't a senior. Yeah, I mean, I think it's those three guys.
Yeah,
Tyler Linderbaum could be a guy that declares early, but I can't see him declaring. And heck, wasn't he a redshirt freshman last year? I mean, he's not going to declare early without playing this year. I mean, I don't see that happening in a million years. So, yeah, I think it's Cronk, Alaric Jackson, and Smith Marset. So, Smith Marset is the one I worry about the most, even though I think Alaric Jackson is probably a better prospect. Because I think we all want to see Smith. Like, we all agree that we want to see Smith Marset his senior year. I think we all know that he's a special talent, one that a team like Iowa doesn't get every year. So, it's just amazing to me that we've been talking, you know, this podcast, and we are going to talk sports. I mean, we've talked NBA basketball. It's just amazing that everything we've talked as far as college football hasn't been about football. We usually spend time in August breaking down the roster, breaking down the schedule, breaking down our record predictions. And instead, we've got Alex
breaking down Corey's record prediction of 11-1.
Instead, we've got Alex on the right screen, side of the screen, and Alex on the couch in the back, in sweats, not even paying attention because we're not talking about football. I mean,
basically, Mekhi has not shown up on this podcast at all. when he was serious, Alex.
He was in tune before I said Giannis was probably a top 8 player. He was gone after that. At some point, we've got to talk about Iowa football. I just don't know when that is because there's so much uncertainty. So
maybe like the week before they're scheduled to play their first game. Then we'll know for sure.
Anybody else excited to see what Spencer Petras does? Okay. We need to get out of this. We need to get football back. Oh, gosh. This is becoming a drag.
You realize that like the season wouldn't have even started yet.
Well, Noah, that if the season had started on time, this would be game week. We'd be making game predictions right now. What are your thoughts on that, Noah?
It's been a very long year.
Isn't that weird? We're all numb.
Noah, doesn't it feel, again, this is me, but doesn't it feel totally like, this doesn't feel like this would be game week, does it? Like, in no way does this feel like we should be predicting a game.
Not really. But that's like, probably colored by the situation we're in right now with the pandemic.
And August usually just, there's so much hype around the season in August. I mean, you're getting text messages from me every day, 35 days, 34 days, 33 days.
Yeah, 99 days, 98 right. days. Finding an Iowa player that wore that number
right.
for how many days that are left.
Well,
not only college football, NFL preseason would be going on right now normally too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, isn't it? But the first NFL Sunday, isn't it 2 weeks away? I mean, they're going to be playing 2 weeks from now. So,
I mean, can we all far off of their normal schedule?
All right, I'm ready to wrap this thing up. Alex, anything to add on the Big Ten? I mean, we're kind of playing the waiting game with the Big Ten. When do you anticipate hearing a more concrete announcement about what the Big Ten at least is planning from a preliminary standpoint?
I mean, I don't know if they know. You know, can they really say if they have any plans? I think they've enacted their plans. So,
saying that we've heard discussions that they're talking about January 1st, they're talking about Thanksgiving. When are we going to get it? I mean, they got to decide that at some point. They've got to have these players know, and they've got to have coaches know, and get a schedule. As far as, I mean, if they're playing November, these players are going to have to go. I mean, they're still allowed to work out with their team. Which is what's amazing about this. The Big Ten said, well, it's about student health, student athlete safety, and yet you're still allowing teams to practice. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but my point is, they're going to have to really get game ready in a month. I mean, this is September. Well, what is it? What's the day today? Okay, it's just turned the 31st. So Tuesday tomorrow will be September 1st, Noah, which means a month from now will be October. Doesn't that make you just feel depressed? Doesn't that just make you feel depressed to know 1 month from today is October?
My entire summer has been spent indoors.
Then turn around and look at the couch. That's been your entire
dun, dun, dun.
Quarantine in a nutshell.
Noah, when are we going to play this NBA online game?
Well, if we weren't recording into the wee hours of the morning, I'd say we could do it around the time we do a podcast, but we don't start a podcast at 10 or 10:30.
I got to get a better controller.
What are you talking about?
It's not my fault.
I don't have a controller for my computer to play the NBA thing.
I
have that Logitech you can have.
Huh?
Are we going to wrap up the podcast?
Oh, we're still on? We're still recording?
Yeah, okay. We're still recording. All
right. Well,
We'll end it there. We'll be back hopefully within a week or two and talk more. I mean, if we get big news, maybe we'll be back in a week. But I mean, if there's nothing happening, I don't want to come on here and just blabber. Now, there will be NBA playoffs to talk about, conference semifinals. We'll update that. By the way, there are a lot of sports that are going on just fine right now, Noah. I mean, it has been just fine in golf. It's been fine in NASCAR. It's been fine with the NBA. MLB has had its hiccups, but they're continuing. It's just a matter of can college football pull it off. We are, and just remember this, everybody, as we go day and, you know, we are getting closer and closer to the end of this pandemic. We don't know exactly when it's going to be. Is it going to be in December, end of November? Is it going to be in January? We don't know. We are getting closer and closer, but hang in there. Keep wearing your masks. Try to get the numbers down. And you know, as far as students go, if you're a student and you're listening to this, I know you're a college student and you want to have fun, but there's bigger things that there's bigger things to think about. And I know it's a difficult situation, but it is what it is. Be safe and wear your mask, social distance, and we'll get out of this sooner rather than later. For Makai Kruko, Noah Kruko, Alex Brada, or maybe I should say Alex Brada and Alex number two, we've got, well, is he awake over there? By the way, is Micaiah just completely passed out? Okay. No, he's completely passed out.
You snored a little bit earlier.
Oh, my goodness.
You were out.
Remind me to edit this out of the podcast as well. All right. We will be back with everybody. By the way, one thing I do want to let everybody know, our next podcast, we're going to try to get former Iowa great Matt Gatens on the show. He was scheduled to come on the week of the derecho. And we postponed it. But Matt has been more than willing to come on. It's just I want to be able to actually have a show where we have something to talk about with Matt. I don't want to just come on. Can you imagine if he came on today? I'd be like, what do I ask you? Like, yeah, pandemic sucks, doesn't it? 2020 sucks, doesn't it? Yeah. You know, like what else am I supposed to say? So we'll be back with Matt Gatens, hopefully in a week or two, depending on when we're back next time. So again, for the crew, I'm Corey Brada. We'll talk to you soon. This has been week 125 of Brada's Branded Thoughts. Keep wearing your masks and we'll get college football back soon. Go Hawks.